On a typical night in the United States, about 2 million people have no home to go to. Studies say that for most, it's a temporary hard patch in their lives. But about 10% are chronically homeless. Most of these people are men, suffer from some mental illness or substance abuse. They take up about half the beds in shelters and are regularly sent to jail or taken to hospital emergency rooms. Some community activists decided that focusing on this group would be the most effective way to reduce homelessness. They founded an innovative approach that's showing some remarkable results in some cities and has an unusual degree of approval. Philip Mangano is the executive director of the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness and joins us in our studios. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Scott, for having me.
And let's get you to tell us about what would seem like a new idea a couple of years ago. Instead of a bed, shelter, bowl of soup, a place to live.
Well, it is a radical notion, isn't it, that the central antidote to ending someone's homelessness would be providing them with a place to live. But I've spent 20 years talking directly to homeless people and asking them what they wanted, and it's consistent across our country. They ask for one thing. So we've tried to take federal policy and partner with states and localities and the business community and actually provide a place to live. One of the things that we've learned in the last several years in terms of doing some, of all things, cost-benefit analysis on homelessness, is that even though we look at these folk on the street and they look like they're not very costly, after all, there they are lying on the sidewalk, they're actually randomly ricocheting into very expensive primary health. In other words, they go to the emergency room for their primary health care, into substance abuse and mental health at the most expensive end of that, police interventions, court costs, periods of incarceration. When you add all of that up, we've discovered that providing a place to live and the stability of that, even when they're wrestling with the beginnings of their recovery, that's actually less expensive than leaving them out on the street.
Mm-hmm. Now, does having housing permit them to make a dent on some of the other problems?
Oh, that's central to it, for sure. What we know, of course, is that some of those folk have severe disabilities by virtue of addiction or mental illness or physical or developmental disabilities. So we've learned they need permanent housing with support services. The old way of attempting to deliver services when a person's on the street or living in a shelter, you can't do it more ineffectively or more expensively than that. And what we're learning is when you provide actually stability and a place to live, that housing itself has a therapeutic impact on folk. Those of us who have never been homeless, we take our housing for granted. But for a homeless person, for the first time, they can actually relax. And when a person's relaxed in the setting of stability and security, they're much more amenable to receiving some of those mental health services or addiction services that they might have rejected had they been on the street.
What do you say to the concern that some people have that by concentrating on housing first, then the support services, you let people move into housing when they have all kinds of problems that aren't necessarily congenial for the neighbors?
Sure, and I think that's a legitimate concern, absolutely. My question is, what's the alternative? That they remain on the street and their health deteriorates, their psychological condition deteriorates?
Where do you think you're seeing some of the greatest success?
In the cities, really. It's Mayor Daley in Chicago, Mayor Bloomberg in New York, Mayor Newsom in San Francisco. There are about 24 cities now across our country who are 2 or 2.5 years into their 10-year plan. And those 24 cities range geographically and demographically. They're both big cities and small cities, literally coast to coast. And places like Dallas, Texas, have experienced 2 consecutive years of 20% reductions of people on the street long-term in the shelters. San Francisco, long thought of as ground zero in terms of visible street homelessness in our country, in the 2.5 years of the implementation of their plan, have seen a 38% reduction. Philadelphia, that's been doing it for about 5 years, has a 50% reduction. I got a call from Portland, Oregon a few weeks ago when they said, we have a 70% reduction on the streets of Portland by implementing a business-focused results-oriented 10-year plan. So when you talk to mayors around the country that are seeing these dramatic reductions, what they're talking about is literally ending people's homelessness, placing them in homes, and providing stability there.
Philip Mangano, Executive Director of the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness, thank you.
Thank you for having me.